I don't think the Lord just wants us preaching about entanglement without giving us clear guidance on how to become untangled and to get out of this entanglement that we're in. And as I've meditated more on that side of the equation, okay, Lord, we've all been very transparent with You and admitted that life has entangled us and our minds get tangled up. And as we've been honest with You, Lord, about that, we're also asking for direction on how to get out. And I'll be quite honest with you, and I hope this morning and tonight and further will allow us to understand that getting out is not a 1-2-3 resolution, not a 1-2-3 solution. Do step one, step two, step three, and make sure you circle your answer, okay? It's not that. It's a refocusing of our heart and our mind and our thoughts. I want to read something. I wrote it down for this morning, but did not feel inclined to read it per se. I want to read it as I start tonight. Before I read that quote, I want you to look in Judges 6:10. Please get this. If it's all you get today, it was worth the dollar you put in the offering plate. Say amen. Judges 6:10. Are you there? And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Everybody say, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. That's the flesh. That's the world. That's this world system. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Is Satan the god of this world? Thank you, church. Satan is the god of this world, but I don't fear him. Let me tell you something. You try that in another country. I know Dr. Salazar is the president of this country, but I don't fear him. There would be one thing that would give you enough boldness to say that. And what would it be? Somebody tell me. It'd be that there American passport you're carrying. I'm in your country. You are the president. But I have a higher authority in my life. No, we're not going to go and be jerks. All God's people said. Were you worried in China? Yeah, he was, okay? You had no need to be. You had the entire United States Army behind you. I am in a strange land, but my passport reads heaven. And that's what we've got to remind ourselves of. See all the weirdness, and I don't know any other word that is around us. Read the bumper stickers. You remember 15 years ago when they said, we still pray? Do you remember what the world's response to that was? We still read? You know what they were saying? You're a bunch of illiterate, Bible-thumping hillbillies who don't even know how to read. You can pray all you want to. We're going to teach our children how to read. And here's what they were teaching their children how to read. Heather has two mommies. See, that's 20 years old. And now we wonder why 20 and 25-year-olds, they're talking about lowering the voting age to 16. I'm like, you better raise it to 30. Okay, you lower it to 16 and the 13-year-olds will be parading in the streets wearing ribbons saying, give us the right to vote. Somebody help me. We are strangers in a foreign land. And if we're not careful, we get overwhelmed and we succumb to what is all around us. We have to remember that our passport says, say it with me, heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. So here's what I want to ask you. Who do you fear the most? Who do you fear the most? It should be God Almighty. What does fear mean? It means reverence. It means respect. It means awe. It means admiration. And it means a good old healthy heaping of fear. When you're young, a child doesn't understand what happens if they step out in the road. They don't get it. We have to be the ones to protect them. They don't understand the physics of what that truck does. They don't understand. So we protect. And what do we say? We just put plain old-fashioned fear in them until the understanding comes. Fear will help you. Fear will keep you out of a whole lot of trouble until there's a deeper level of understanding. Okay? So fear God. When you fear God, your priorities start lining up and you'll find yourself. Let me tell you something. The entanglement that the majority of my church has come to me and in some form or another. Some have said, preacher, I made a bad financial decision 3 years ago. We're in a mess. We're trying to work our way out of it. Would you pray for us? Some have said, Brother Rains, it's family. We love Jesus. They're carnal and they're giving us fits. You name it. It's been expressed to me in the last 2 months. So whatever your entanglement is, here's what I want to say, and we're going to get to tonight's message. It didn't happen overnight. And we're so impatient in America. Okay, you say, no, I'm not impatient. I'm patient. No, no, no. Time yourself the next time you pull through the drive-thru and see when your blood pressure starts rising. Okay, Grandma used to take 3 hours to cook that meal and it was well worth the wait. Now we wait 90 seconds. We're like, what on earth? What, drive-thru? Really? You're calling this a drive-thru? You know, I could have come in there and fixed it myself. And then we give them a gospel track. Say, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, Christians aren't perfect, just forgive and honk if you love Jesus. You know, and they're like, I don't want what you've got. That's how the druggies were acting towards me 5 minutes ago. I was expecting something a little different out of you. You're dying on me, everybody. Well, you didn't get in that mess overnight. You're not going to get out overnight. No, time out. It is amazing when God steps on the scene and fixes it. And when He does, I'm here to tell you, I want to hear about it. The church wants to hear about it. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. 9 times out of 10, we got ourselves into it. 9 times out of 10, He's going to let us follow His teachings and get ourselves out of it. Now, He'll be there all along the way. Somebody say amen. Okay, He'll be there holding our hand, guiding us, saying, no, don't, that bad decision, stay right, this is the way, walk ye in it, this is the way, walk ye in it. Thank God for that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then here's what I've found so many times, Brother Landreth. I've got myself in a mess. I'm obeying Him. I've confessed and forsaken my sin. I'm walking and I'm walking and I'm obeying. There'll be a bump in the road and I get a little discouraged, a little bit of setback, and I push through by God's grace and I say, no, I'm not going back to where I was. I'm going to do things God's way. And it seems like sometimes after I pass that first test, divine intervention swoops in and God fixes it for me. Y'all ever seen Him do that? There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And if you don't know, I've said it for 8.5 years. We're all over the map here. Our backgrounds, our years of salvation, the teaching we've received, work, you name it, we've got it at Progress Baptist Church. So what I'm saying means different things to different people. But I'm here to tell you, if you were trying your dead level best to do it God's way, watch Him step in and intervene sometimes. And when He does, you ought to make much of it. Okay, let's look at the text. Look at verse number 15, chapter 6, verse number 15. And He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Don't look at 14. Don't look at 14. I like the service. I like the spirit. I like the freedom. Don't look at 14. Somebody tell me what 14 said. I gave you a hint when I read 15 where He said, Lord. Some of y'all are looking at 14. Man, I'm glad I didn't have y'all in a classroom. I'd be sending you to the principal's office. What 14 say? Say it. The Lord looked. And what God called Him when He looked at Him? Mighty man of valor. And Gideon went, who, me? Mighty man of valor? Do you know where you found me? I found me. You found me behind the wine press doing a little handful of threshing, trying to make a loaf of bread. And I'm supposed to be out there in the field, but I'm scared of those Midianites. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Look at it. Look at it. My family is poor in Manasseh. Can anybody relate? I'm the least in my father's house. The Lord said, surely I'll be with thee and I'll smite the Midianites as one man. Point number one, you ready? Family. I pastor people who will not let God work a miracle in their life because every time He starts one, they say, you forgot who you were dealing with. You forgot what side of the tracks I was born on. Hebrews chapter 13, where did Jesus go to bear the sins of the people? Without the camp. Somebody say amen. What does without the camp mean? Is he helping you tonight? If not, I just need to go get in the prayer closet and speak in tongues. I'm being a fool. He's helping us here tonight. Do you know what he meant in chapter 13 when he said he suffered without the gate? He went without the camp bearing the reproach and the sin of the people. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I went to the other side of the tracks. I went to those that were down and out, those that had nothing to offer me. Scarcely for a righteous man would some die. Peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet, Christ died for us. Very few, and I wish they would get saved, not for carnal reasons, although we'll take their carnal means. I wish more rich people would come to Jesus. They don't need him. Highly educated people that have the plush offices downtown and the monthly parking spaces that they pay for years in advance, they don't think they need God. But yet, here we are, a motley crew, if there ever was one, and he tries to work a miracle in our life and use us and help us, and we're going, have you forgot who you're dealing with? I want to ask you, have you forgot who you're talking to? He is God Almighty, and he condescended to man in his lowest state, and he does not care what side of the tracks you were born on. He doesn't care if you hung a blanket over the door because you didn't have a door. He doesn't care about all that. And God says, I want to do a miracle in your life, Gideon. And he says, wait a minute. My family's poor and I'm the least. That could mean size. That could mean prestige. That could mean money. That could mean any number of things. It probably means all of the above. And he said, if you forgot who I was, so I'm here to ask you tonight. I am begging every member of Progress Baptist Church tonight, quit telling God whose family you were born into and why he shouldn't be using you. Let him decide that. Brother Fred, I love you like a daddy, a brother or whatever. I guess we're close enough. We ought to be brothers. Daniel wouldn't let the Lord help him. That's too plain, isn't it? How many times? I don't belong here. Yes, you do belong here. I don't fit. This is not who I am. Yes, it is who you are. Yes, you do fit. Yes, you do belong here. And yes, Jesus wants to work in your life. Let him. None of us threw anything in his face. I love him. I wish he'd watch tonight and come meet me in the parking lot. If he does and he's not happy, stay with me. Let God work a miracle in your life. Let him use you. Let him do something amazing with you. And when he uses those of us that were born on the wrong side of the tracks, when it gets done, we're all gone. I texted somebody after the funeral the other day. I said, you just need to know your song blessed me to no end. That's all I said. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. That's all I said. Took about that long on a text. The answer was, preacher, it was all God. And that's all any of us can say. It was all God. We don't have to draw any attention to ourselves. It was all God. God doesn't need me. I've heard men preach who've had cerebral palsy and you had to strain to listen to their words. And the Holy Ghost fall in that place and conviction fall in that place and the altar get full and people do. God don't need me with my articulation. God doesn't need any of us. So let God. So quit telling God your last name. I just got another revelation. Do we know anybody's last name in the Bible? I'm going to run. When I Cam, just take over and let me run and then I'll come back and you can tag me and I'll be it. Do we know anybody's name? Glory to God. Somebody ought to help me right there. He don't need your last name. And if your last name is a good one, he's not impressed. What's he saying with that Bible stuff? Who's the first man in the Bible? Adam. Who's the last one in the Bible? John. John who? John. Adam. Brett. Tammy. Elijah. Somebody help me. That's worth the day right there. He's not impressed with my last name. He doesn't need my last name. He's not impressed. He's also not scared off by, oh, that, you say, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You weren't born and bred here and your people don't know your name. I can take Wing Drive 5 hours. I can take you to a hollow, holler is what we say. I can't even say hollow. That sounds like what you do to a log when you clean it out, okay? I can take you to a holler in West Virginia. And when you say rains, it's about 50-50 what kind of response you're going to get. And some of them ain't going to be fit for little ears. You follow me? God don't need my last name. He's not impressed with my last name. Family, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Look at verse 17. Verse number 17. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And he said unto him, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring my present and set it before thee. And he said, I'll tarry until you come again. Gideon went in, made ready a kid, unleavened cakes, flesh he put in a basket, broth in a pot, brought it out under the oak and presented it. You think anybody had taught him about Leviticus? Does that sound vaguely familiar? Pots and broth and meat and unleavened bread. Does that ring any bells? Y'all follow what I'm saying? I didn't lose you there, did I? The offerings that they were commanded to offer. That's exactly what he's doing. He doesn't know everything that's going on here, but he's figured out this is not earthly, this is heavenly. Okay? I am glad what goes on in the house of God is heavenly and not earthly. I've had it up to here with earthly. You say, yeah, earthly is when it's poor quality. No. It can be high quality and be earthly. Okay, for all the reasons that I just preached. Okay, we ought to give God our very best. But let me tell you something. We need it with the oil of the Holy Ghost. 20. Angel of God said, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them on a rock, pour out the broth. He did so. The angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Time out. If you get it, fine. If you don't, fine. I want to know. I want to help you. And there arose up fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Who does that sound like? In this, I'll give you a hint. In this same book of Judges, I heard it. Samson's daddy offered an offering to the Lord. God accepted it there with fire. There arose fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh, the unleavened cakes. The angel of the Lord departed. And I'll get to 22 in just a minute. Look at verse number 17. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that I talk with thee. Number one was the family. Quit telling God your family. Number two, faith. Let's look very briefly. Let's look at his faith for a minute. Look at verse number 17. I'm going to step on thin ice, so help me, Mike. Are you impressed with Gideon's faith in verse number 17? God just told him he's going to do something amazing in verse 16. Look at verse 17. Is anybody impressed with Brother Gideon? Say it, Seth. No. If I said, tell me what you know about Gideon, some of you would say the army of 300. Some of you might say the fleece. We remember the fleece where he said, Lord, if this is you, let it be wet and the ground dry, then vice versa and all that. We remember the fleece and you'll get preached to and told, bless God, this is the day of faith. This isn't the day of fleeces. Quit laying out your fleeces. Walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 39 tells me that Gideon walked by faith. Right? Did you know your Bible will tear up a lot of preaching? Did you know that? Okay. If the Lord ever calls you to preach, don't just spout off what you've heard all your life until you've read it in the Bible. Okay. I have had to walk into the pulpit of this church and say I was wrong. And lest you think for a minute, it was who I was listening to. It wasn't that. It was just I made some assumptions. That's never wise. And God said, you better check that verse again. And if a story is ever given twice in your Bible, you would do very well to read it both places because you're going to make a bold statement about something God wasn't bold about. You better compare Scripture with Scripture unless you like Crow. I ain't a fan of Crow. It don't go down very well. When it does go down, it goes down better warm instead of cold. So get it over with. Verse 17, your preacher's here to tell you, I'm not impressed with Gideon's faith. The preacher's also here to tell you, I'm not Gideon's judge. Did Gideon have no faith? No. Had a little. And it was weak at best. You follow me? But we know from Hebrews chapter 11, he got into God's hall of faith and he was recognized in verse number 39. And it said, these all by faith received a good report. Now I am glad for the amazing conquering people in God's Word. The truth of the matter is I can't relate to them. I can't. This afternoon, I said, Lord, I need such and such. And it was pretty much what Gideon's asking for in verse number 17. But I'm here to tell you, you don't. Jesus said in the New Testament, I have not ever seen such great faith. Do you know anybody with great faith? I've told you publicly in front of her, so I can say it. When she's not here, she's sick tonight. I consider my wife a woman of great faith. I just do. There's people in this church, their faith's like that. I hate to disappoint you. Mine's weak at best. Most of the time, Seth, here's what I find myself saying on my knees. Lord, I don't know what you will do. But I'm 100% convinced of what you can do. To me, that's a little more realistic. And maybe I'm too realistic. Can God, if one of us gets diagnosed with a terminal disease this week, can we pray? Can they call for the elders of the church? Can God work a miracle and then go in for the next exam and the doctors say, we don't know what happened, there's nothing there? Have we all seen God do that? Are there times when He doesn't? So, I say my faith is weak. Maybe God doesn't think it is. You say, preacher, I don't want you praying over me. I want somebody praying over me who believes God's going to do it. What if God has a higher purpose and doesn't? I refuse to say God has to check all my boxes for me to believe He's good. I don't want to I don't want to stand by another casket. I don't want to follow another one down one aisle and out the next. I don't want to. You know what? I'm going to. That it happens. So what I want is my faith, not so much in what I've seen Him do, but my faith in Him. My faith in Him. And the text told us this morning that Gideon's hang-up was this. He hadn't seen God do much of anything. All he had done was heard about it. And so Gideon's just honest enough to say, I've heard about you, but I hadn't seen much in these last several years. We don't even know how old Gideon was. Brother Michael, he may be of the age to back when God was working in Israel. You know the cycle they went through in the book of Judges. He might have been of the age to where the last time God worked miracles of deliverance, he was not born or too little to recognize it. So Gideon's just being honest with God. So the first thing I want you to see about his faith is that it was weak. Look at verse 18 and 19. Look at them. I'll say briefly, you've listened so intently and attentively. Look at 18 and 19. Seth, his faith worked. Look in 18 and 19. Aaron, this got all over me. He's honest enough to say, I'm from a poor family and I'm the least of the poor family. So I'm in a real mess. He said all that to God, and then he said, Where is your work? I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. And then God doesn't say a word. It's already identified Him as the Lord, right? Y'all with me on that? It's identified Him as the Lord. God doesn't say a word. He doesn't say, trust me and I'll show you who I am. Gideon's got just enough faith. He said, wait right here. I want to go get a present for you. And Miss Sandra, the little bit of faith he had, he put to work. And he went and made an offering to the Lord. When was the last time you offered something to the Lord just because of who He is? They weren't doing anything to be seen. That Thursday at the funeral, when a quartet sang about Jesus coming back again. You ever heard a song about the rapture at a funeral? That's what we ought to be singing about at the funeral. Because what does Thessalonians tell us? The dead in Christ will rise first. Okay? That's where you sing your songs about the rapture. And they're singing about Jesus coming back again. And a broken-hearted daddy stood with his hands in there and said, "Thank you, Lord, you're coming back again. And you'll bring my son with you." So here's what I want you to see. That little bit of faith you've got. Don't do what the man did in Matthew and run bury it. Exercise it. Lord, here's what Gideon said, Seth. I've never seen your work, and you've already identified me as the tool you're going to use, and I am really worried about that. But if you'll hang tight, in today's vernacular, if you'll hang tight, I've got to go get something for you. And he went and got meat and oil and unleavened flour and made something and offered it to the Lord. So and God didn't ask him for it. Look in your text. God didn't ask him for it. He said, "This is what I want to give you." So here's what I want to preach to you tonight in 30 seconds. When God says, "I want to work in your life. I want to do something," you might not have any clue how we can do it. Offer him a sacrifice of praise. Say, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know what you saw in a king." And he's going, "I don't know any kings. All I know is David." But when he says, "I want to do something amazing in your life," offer him a sacrifice. You don't have to go kill a goat or a lamb. You don't have to go get unleavened meal. You don't have to get any oil. You just offer him the sacrifice of praise. Amen. So we see that it was weak. We see that it worked. Look at the next verse, verse number 20. His faith waited. And I don't mean sat on the porch in a rocking chair waiting. I mean waited with a towel on his hand, serving God. You see it in verse number 20? He said, "Here's what I brought you. I want to give it to you right now." If you go into a nice restaurant and there's people dressed up standing all around with towels on their arms, okay, where I go, they hand you dish towels and a roll of paper towels to wipe the barbecue grease off your cheeks. I need a witness, okay? But I hear there's places like that. And if you say, "Sir, could I get something?" He said, "No, I'm waiting." Like, I'm not paying $30 a plate for you to stand there like a mannequin. Okay, we're not allowed to say man anymore. A peoplekin. Yeah, man is too gender specific, okay? He says, I'm not paying you to stand there like Elijah the wooden Indian. You better get to waiting. And some of us are standing here going, "Jesus, are you impressed with me? You impressed with me? No, I want you to do something. Get off your blessed assurance and go to work." "Well, I'm waiting till Jesus comes." Yeah, get up and do something till Jesus comes. So number one, it was weak. Number two, it worked. Number three, it waited. Number 21, look in verse number 21. Who went to work? The angel of the Lord, which we know to be a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus. When it says "the," when we go from an to "thee," and he's already called him Lord in here two or three different times, he starts working. Some of us are sitting waiting on God to do something, and he's waiting on us to get in action so he can go to work. God directs a moving vessel. Some of us are in dry dock and we're asking God why the waves of joy aren't flowing over our soul. We're in dry dock. I'm just going to let that soak for a minute. He waited and let God go to work. Look in verses 22 to 24. You see it? Just let your eyes skim over it. I read it. Got real close to it anyway. You see 22 to 24. What did Gideon start doing, John? Worshiping. What is worship? ascribing worth to God Almighty. Brother Brake, Miss Tammy, been in a trial. Don't quit worshiping. Brother Michael, don't quit worshiping. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. I probably don't. Don't quit worshiping. Well, somebody in the church said something to me. I'm not worshiping them. I'm worshiping Him. You know what? I know as a pastor, I've said things that were offensive. And I didn't mean to. But you know what? When we come in here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, a couple of months ago on a Sunday, we was here till 1:30 and not a soul left. I don't know what y'all's dinner dates did, but y'all stood some people up. Hallelujah. For a little while, 3-4 times a week, we just need to come in here and focus on Jesus. And every time I've done that, Emily, every single time I've done that, Elijah, when I leave, what was weighing heavy on me when I walked in just doesn't seem real, real important. Bless the Lord. Somebody say amen. Brother Michael, just life, just wanting the church to be all 8 cylinders, wanting nothing wrong. My heart was burdened. I just had a burden on my heart this afternoon. Nothing anybody has said or done. I was just burdened. And I said, Lord, for a little while this evening, can we just worship You? And just know You're at home and give You the glory for who You are. Have we even got to Gideon's fleece? The answer is no. Did he need another indication from God that God was going to work and move? Yes, He did. Is his faith still weak? Honestly, church, according to the text, it is. But you know what he's doing, Jake? With that weak faith, he just keeps following. He might be doing it like this instead of like this. Don't you like it when he's so real that you're striding? Come on, devil. Yeah. I'll chase you down with a switch. That ain't real wise. You might look under a rock and you ever been in a service and somebody say, glory to God, I'm going to go out of here tonight lifting up rocks looking for the devil. My daddy used to say, you better be careful, you might find him. But Aaron, man, God just does a miracle. And man, you're taking some strides. Most of the time, Miss Sandra, I'm going, really? Are you sure? Wow, you did. Now you want me to do what? Okay. But in the midst of it all, I just want to keep worshiping for who He is.